The battle for playoff position out west ramps up as the Warriors head to OKC to face the Thunder. Warriors Thunder, today at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Every personal record you achieve makes you want to set another and another and another. That's what it feels like to be a sales consultant at Ziba 2.9, the gym, and Smart FM. As your clients' businesses continue to win, you become even more passionate about helping them. And your success is supported by a bunch of sharp, creative, love this place people. We're adding someone to our tribe right now. So if you feel the way we do about this community, about working hard, and about helping local businesses, email steve at kzia.com to apply.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch at your local Pep Boys location and let the performance speak for itself.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an STP filter for only $39.99. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Moving on up at NASCAR, an Xfinity race with no cup drivers, and the 2019 schedule is out. I'm Woody Kane. Those stories next on NASCAR Today.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Driver safety is the number one priority in racing. It's also the number one priority in trucking. The Detroit Assurance suite of safety systems helps to protect drivers, their trucks, and other motorists by helping to mitigate the severity of collisions. Active brake assist, adaptive cruise control, and lane departure warning, all bringing a new level of safety and protection to the road. Don't just want better business solutions, demand them. Learn more at demanddetroit.com.
NASCAR released the 2019 Cup schedule today, and there are no significant changes. The season opens with a clash at Daytona February 10th and the Daytona 500 the following weekend. The off weekend for Easter falls a couple of weeks later next year, April 20th and 21st. Check it out now at MRN.com. Saturday's Xfinity race at Texas will set the field for the first Dash for Cash event at Bristol the following week. Top four Xfinity regulars will be eligible for an extra $100,000 with no cup drivers in the field. NASCAR has a new chief operating officer. Steve Phelps moves up from executive vice president, replacing Brent Dewar, who was promoted to president last year. And don't forget NASCAR Live tonight at 7 Eastern Time with Kyle Petty on the guest list. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Wow. It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Hour number three is underway, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Plenty more to get to tonight, including tickets to see the Counting Crows at the U.S. Cellular Center in September. I did say within the next hour. That was 30 minutes ago. So technically, I'm still a man of my word as long as we give the tickets away after we're done talking with our next guest. It is officially baseball season because Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is back with us. Ed's Brewers are off to a 3-1 start. No chance that they possibly catch the Pirates, who are 4-0, so we may as well just cancel the rest of the season. Ed, we've been spending the better part of the program, the last 30 minutes, talking about how it's too early to push the panic button if your team is not playing very well. When can you start worrying about where your team is at in the standings?
I think probably the first month of the year, or when the temperature finally gets to be in the 70s, one or the other, whichever comes first.
All right, that's a good rule to live by. As you can imagine, we've probably got a majority of the audience who are Cubs fans or identify as Cubs fans, and there's a little bit of angst over this 2-3 start, especially given the fact that they played Miami and now are in Cincinnati. When you look at the Cubs right now, what type of team do you see?
I think I see the same team that they had last year. They did the same thing in 2017. They got out to an extremely slow start offensively in the first half of the season. Then after the All-Star break, they turned it on. And I think the same thing's going to happen here. Now, granted, there are some red flags. I don't think anybody would have thought that the Marlins and Reds would have thrown back-to-back shutouts against this Cubs offense, nor would they be averaging a strikeout, more than a strikeout an inning, even with the 17-inning game factor in. More than a strikeout an inning, the Cubs offense is averaging. So I think those are two red flags. But I go back again to what I just said a second ago. You got to get at least a month into the season or when the weather turns warm before you start to panic. So this is the same, almost the same script that the Cubs produced last year. And for Cub fans, I think they were, outside of the NLCS, I think they were satisfied with the outcome a year ago.
What's more of a concern, the strikeouts or the pitching rotation so far?
Well, I'm going to go strikeouts just because we'll use the Brewers for an example. Last year, they were pretty much a true outcome team, a home run or a strikeout. And as a result, especially in the second half of the Brewers, they had one of the worst offenses as measured by runs per game. When they were actually hitting home runs in the first half of the season, I think they averaged like a run and a half better in the first half of the season than the second half. That's an example of the Brewers. And notice that this offseason, they wanted to go with OBP by signing Lorenzo Cain and acquiring Christian Yelich. So I think you got to get, they have a lot of boppers in that Cubs offense. You got to get on base, and you can't do that if you're striking out. And I know there are going to be some who say a strikeout is just another out, but I think when you have runners in scoring position and you have a strikeout not advancing the runners, I think that's twice as deadly as an ordinary strikeout.
When you take a look around the rest of the NL Central right now, is there anything that you've seen that surprises you with any of the other teams? I'll give you mine. I knew Jordan Hicks was going to be pretty good with St. Louis, but he's looked really good so far for a kid who hasn't thrown any pitches above A ball.
I had a chance to see him in person yesterday. I was up in Milwaukee for the home opener for the Brewers, and he just came in and threw gas, mid-90s the entire time, and did it, I thought, was a pretty good job with the game on the line. When Thames hit the home run to pull within 8-4, you could feel the news tightening a little bit around the Cardinals, and they have a very untested bullpen. And with Tyler Lyons and Jordan Hicks coming in yesterday, shut down the Brewers. So it's going to be an interesting, again, it's too early. I'm kind of impressed by the Pirates 4-0 start. Now, granted, they're playing the Tigers and the Twins, and the opening day crowd they had last year was just over 30,000, which was, I think, the worst they've had ever at PNC. So the crowd, the fans, the fan base for Pittsburgh isn't buying into Neil Huntington's moves in the offseason, but a four-game winning streak to start the season, that might soothe some of the savage beasts.
Ed, are Brewers fans a little bit upset that the Brewers didn't go out and address the pitching rotation in the offseason after they went and solidified that outfield to be one of the better outfields in the National League?
I think that some members of the fan base are, but I think if you listen to David Stern's explanation, I think that should ease the concerns of any of the Brewer fan base. Don't forget, the Brewers had a top 10 pitching staff last year, a very underrated staff. Now, granted, they don't have a marquee name. They don't have a guy who's going to command $20, $25 million a year. They don't have an ace in the mold of a Kershaw or a Scherzer, or if you go, even a Garrett Cole, who was a popular trade target in the offseason. They don't have that, but what they have is Chase Anderson, again, underrated. And if you go back to the middle of 2016, there are only two. He and Max Scherzer have the same ERA over the last year and a half. Kershaw, I think, is the only one that bests him in the ERA over the last year and a half. So I think they have a very underrated pitching staff. I think Stearns made an interesting point in the offseason. He says if you're going to add a player to the team, you not only have to factor in the financial cost of adding the player, the prospect cost if you're acquiring them, or in the case of a free agent, the loss of the bonus pool. And I think after signing Kane, who was a free agent, they lost their third-round draft pick and the bonus pool that goes with that. If you had signed, say, a Lance Lynn or an Alex Cobb, you would have lost their fourth-round draft choice and the additional bonus pool money. And I think in addition to the four prospects they gave up for Yelich, I think that was too much of an ask for Stearns on the whole of the offseason. And if you take a look at the prize free agents so far, Lynn got shelled by Pirates yesterday. Darvish had a mediocre start. Arrieta doesn't throw until next week, and Cobb later in the month. So it would probably make the fan base a little easier, but I think David Stearns is very confident in what they have on the Major League staff and also what they have coming up on the AAA staff. It's inexperienced. It's unproven. But I think they have a great deal of confidence in what they have in the organization right now.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Are we getting a glimpse of Bryce Harper in a contract year? The start that he's off to, he hasn't struck out yet, looks dialed in at the plate. What do you think this year is going to ultimately look like for the superstar outfielder in Washington?
I think it's all going to come down to one thing. Is he healthy? He's battled shoulder injuries the last couple of years. And we've seen when Bryce Harper is healthy, this is how he produces. If he is dinged up, we see the corresponding reduction in his offensive output. I don't know if it's so much a contract year for Bryce Harper. I think he's got a large enough ego that if he's in the first year of a contract or the walk year of a contract, he wants to put up monster numbers, because I think in his mind, he wants to show everyone that he is the best player in baseball. And with Mike Trout getting the accolades, Stanton, Judge, even Ohtani being the phenom coming across from the Pacific Ocean, I think Bryce Harper wants to put his name back in that conversation. I think that's what's motivating him more than a $400 million contract in the offing this offseason.
Staying in the NL East, the New York Mets off to a pretty good start. Is this just you talk about Bryce Harper's health. Is this just a situation where as long as the pitching staff is healthy for the Mets, they're gonna be in contention, not necessarily for a division, but a playoff spot all season long?
Absolutely. I think they have one of the best young pitching staffs when healthy. But that hasn't been the case in the last couple of years. I think last year I think DeGrom was the only one that was unscathed health-wise. So I think it's going to be the same thing. If they can remain healthy in the starting rotation, that's going to give them a leg up in the wild card chase. They're going to be at a disadvantage, I think, offensively. I think they're asking a lot for Jay Bruce to regain some form to help out there. Cespedes has also been bitten by the injury bug the last couple of years. We are seeing right now Conforto is still working his way back, and they're putting a lot on his shoulders as far as taking over center field when he gets back. So health is going to be the biggest concern for the Mets, not just in the pitching staff, but also offensively.
Let's turn our attention to the American League really quick. You brought up Shohei Ohtani, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what have been your impressions of him so far?
I think if he wasn't such a phenom, he could use a little seasoning in AAA. He had a relatively mediocre spring training. They shielded him. Most of his pitching action came in minor league games. His hitting, if you take a look at the scouts, I think they think right now at this stage his hitting might be slightly less than where his pitching is going to be. I think this is just going to be another case of where the way I look at it for Ohtani's year is going to be like a pitcher coming off Tommy John. His first year back is going to be a shadow of his former self. It takes a full year of recovery pitching to get back to where you are. And I think that's going to be with Ohtani, but instead of coming back from Tommy John surgery, it's going to be the transition from Japan to the United States, the cultural barrier, the language barrier, getting used to the 162-game season, trying to figure out the best way to get him his at-bats, either DH, first base, wherever they want to squeeze him in, and putting him into a rotation. So I think this is going to be a year of adjustment. So I think on the whole, I think his numbers will probably look pedestrian in 2018. I think the key thing is how will he be in 2019? I think we'll see the true Shohei Ohtani in 2019 rather than in 2018.
Sticking the American League, what did you make of Brian Dozier taking exception to Chance Sisko's bunt in the ninth inning of a 7-0 game?
I understand it in one regard, that with the score the way it is, bunting's a little silly in that situation. But if you really want to go totally old school, baseball's baseball. Whether it's a 7-0 game or a scoreless game, you do what you think is best to help your team win. So I think Dozier has more important things to worry about than whether or not somebody's bunting on his team.
Early returns look promising with Giancarlo Stanton in New York in a Yankees uniform. Your thoughts on the Yankees so far for Aaron Boone?
It's going to come down to their pitching staff. They did a nice job in acquiring Stanton for what I thought was a less than stellar prospect package. And I think when you have the heart of the order being Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez, that's a pretty solid middle of the order. But they really didn't do anything to address their starting pitching other than re-signing CC Sabathia. So I think when you take a look at how the Yankees stack up in the AL East, and again, this is going to sound like a broken record, but starting pitching, health. If the Red Sox can get that, I think they have an offense from 1 to 9 that is compatible and comparable to what the Yankees can put out. But if the Red Sox can host a healthy starting five, I think their starting rotation is going to be stronger than the Yankees. And I think ESPN is just going to wet themselves having the Yankees and Red Sox go down to playing some very meaningful games late in September.
Ed, do the Houston Astros have an Achilles heel? Is there anything that can derail them?
I think the two things they're going to have to look out for, and I think we saw this when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, there's always a postseason hangover, especially when you go that deep for the first time. Granted, the Astros have been in the playoffs, but not going this far and playing this really high-pressure game, it's going to a Game 7 in the World Series. And it goes back again to what we've talked, the broken record, injuries. Can they stay healthy? They were remarkable in that they were relatively healthy last year. They had a couple of pitchers dinged up, but they were able to supplement them, you know, acquiring Verlander. They got Garrett Cole this offseason. So that starting rotation is one of the best in baseball if they can remain healthy. So I think those are going to be the two things. Health and how will they adjust to that postseason hangover. I think they're fortunate that they're playing in a slightly weak division in the AL West. Texas and the Mariners have struggled this year so far in the first opening week. Seattle's been bitten by injuries throughout their outfield and a little bit to the back end of their rotation. Oakland is always in a state of rebuilding or retooling, however Billy Bean wants to phrase it. And the Angels, I think, are a team that can compete with them, but I think the Angels are probably going to be more like they were last year, fighting the Twins and for that second wild card spot. So I think that gives them a leg up that they have lesser competition in the division than, say, some other teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox in the East.
I know it's early, but how are we feeling about pace of play? Are you as worried as I am about losing sleep over how quickly these games are going or not going?
No, I think I'm not quite sure why that is the most important thing to the Commissioner Manfred. I don't get it. Granted, I don't like watching 3.5-hour baseball games. But I think the putting the as this is your top priority to improving the game of baseball, I just don't see the logic in that. And if they start, the thing that I understand the purists who think you're tinkering with the game by putting a clock on it, hustling them up between innings, I don't really have much of an issue with it. But the thing that really bothers me, and they're starting to do in the minor leagues, is that stupid international rule where you put a runner on second to start extra innings. Granted, a 17-inning game like the Cubs and Marlins played really does destroy your pitching staff, although Butler did a once outstanding job saving the Cubs pen. I still like the idea of, you know, baseball is baseball, as we were mentioning with the Dozier-Cisco incident. You play baseball, whether it's the first inning, 10th inning, 17th inning, you play it like the way it's supposed to be played. I think the college overtime rule where you started on the 25-yard line is ridiculous. You could have an outstanding defensive game, 14-14 going overtime, and the next thing you know, it's a 52-49 final in triple overtime or something stupid like that. I think it takes away a little bit. So the pace of game, I'm not so much worried about. I'm kind of worried about some of the other things they may do to try to quicken games.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about are these games that Major League Baseball is putting on Facebook. I think the Mets are the first one up here. Their game tomorrow is a Facebook only, and the blackouts continue to be an issue, especially here in the state of Iowa. What do you think of how baseball is handling making its product available to the consumer in 2018?
I think the home blackout rule is kind of ridiculous. I'll give an example. I live in Chicago, and the Chicago Blackhawks, before they won their 3 Stanley Cups in the 6 years, the owner, Bill Wirtz, refused to put his team on local television because he wanted people to show up to games to get the ticket revenue, and since he was a liquor distributor, he wanted them to buy the beer. And as a result, you saw the fan base of the Chicago Blackhawks deteriorate to basically whoever showed up at the stadium in those days. Once Rocky Wirtz took over and put his Blackhawks on local TV, mainly WGN Channel 9, and then on Comcast, it helped when you had the great talent like Taves and Kane and you winning the Stanley Cup. So you also start to saw the increase in the fan base, not just those who would go to the game, but others who would be casual fans. And I think those are who you have to cater to, are the casual fans. And Iowa is like the Achilles heel in the TV coverage map of baseball. They don't have a major league team, so they kind of piecemeal them with different places, and as a result, they get really screwed on the blackout coverage. I think Major League Baseball with their MLB TV, when you take a look at the package price they sell for that in comparison to the NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV or the NBA Pass, is fairly reasonable. It's very economical for the amount of games you have, and I think what they need to do is to pretty much just get rid of the blackouts. Let people watch it, because with Twitter, the beat writers are pretty much doing play-by-play on Twitter. Every game is being televised. I think what they need to do, if you really want to, and it's kind of go, you know, Manfred and his pace of play was to get the younger generation to back into baseball. The way to do it is to reach out on things like Facebook. We've seen Twitter games being streamed on Twitter or Yahoo. And I think that's what they need to do, but they need to get rid of the blackout. So anybody, whether they're in Eastern Iowa, whether they're in Wyoming, Montana, Alabama, they don't have to worry about blackout. They can see their team of choice, or see whatever game may pique their curiosity that night, and don't have to worry about, oh, you're not in the right geographic area.
Preach, preach. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. I'm sorry, I've been reading my 21-month-old son a lot of Dr. Seuss books, so I just had to go Dr. Seuss there. Hey, before we let you go, I watched the Brewers. Are they really going to keep Josh Hader in the bullpen, or are they going to succumb to temptation and give him a shot in the rotation? Because I watch him pitch, and I think he may be the best pitcher on that staff.
I agree with you. But the problem with Josh Hader, and this is the reason why he's in the bullpen, is that he is a two-pitch pitcher. He has an outstanding fastball and a killer slider. And as a reliever, Andrew Miller, case in point, number one example, that if you are a left-hander or any reliever for that matter, I think that is the best way to go, because if you have two pitches, you can be devastating as a multi-inning reliever. To be a starting pitcher, let's use Chase Anderson as an example. When he was with the Diamondbacks, he was pretty much a two-pitch pitcher, fastball and a curveball, and his other offerings were pretty crappy, and as a result, he was more of a back-end rotation. Once he was acquired by the Brewers, the pitching coach, Derek Johnson, taught him the cutter. He went back to a changeup with his curveball, and he became a four-pitch pitcher, which makes you really lethal as a starting pitcher. Hader has yet to develop those secondary off-speed pitches where he can become a true four-pitch pitcher. Mastering the fastball and the slider makes him perfect in the bullpen, and I know the best way to learn is to do it. But I think what you saw in his minor league career, especially last year at Triple-A and the year before that at Double-A, he was pretty much a five-inning pitcher because he did not have the repertoire to get through the lineup that second and third time. So I think in this age of multi-inning relievers, I think Josh Hader can be just as devastating as Andrew Miller. And based on the prices we saw on free agent relievers this year, you can set yourself up for life quite nicely if you can be a very competent multiple inning reliever. So I think right now, as long as he can only master those two pitches, I think he's perfect in the bullpen. If during the offseason, if he starts tinkering with those other pitches and he can show that in spring training, then yeah, I think he can be a very lethal starting rotation. But right now, he's only got the two pitches. Keep him in the pen and let him be dominant, because it's Craig Council saying the question is, do I use him two innings and then a day off, or can I go back-to-back with one innings? And that's the kind of dilemma they have and how they want to use Josh Hader in the bullpen. And I think that's a solid bridge they have from their starters to getting to the closer, Corey Knebel.
Great stuff as always, Ed. We'll check in with you in a couple weeks.
My pleasure. Hopefully the weather will be much better than what it is today.
I hope
that's
so.
For sure.
All three of us. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, checking in on the program every other Tuesday throughout the baseball season. And give us 14 more days, and maybe we'll have some more compelling baseball stories to talk about than whether or not it's too early to panic when it comes to the Cubs and some of the other teams. The Yankees, by the way, I mentioned them as a 500 ball club, looking like they're going to beat Tampa Bay today, even though Chris Archer at times looked extremely good. Didi Gregorius is having a big game for the Yankees. Cubs and the Reds, I think, still want to try to play tonight. I don't think they're going to be able to play that game. I haven't seen any official word on whether or not it's been canceled yet. No Kyle Schwarber in the lineup tonight. They are facing a left-hander in Cody Reed. However, it's just looks to be a regular night off if they do play. Ben Zobrist will be taking his place in the lineup. Schwarber's got a couple home runs, and he's also got a couple miscues in the field that have cost the team. I am a man of my word, and in order to keep my word, I've got to do this very quickly because we're creeping up on the 60-minute mark, but we've got tickets to see the Counting Crows. They're coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on Tuesday, September 18th at 7:30. Caller number 6 is going to be able to take home those tickets right now. 319-366-1600. Tickets available at the U.S. Cellular Center box office and at Ticketmaster.com. And with our show all week long, 366-1600, caller 6. You're headed to see the Counting Crows at the U.S. Cellular Center in September. Back with more after this.
This is how we turn every Sunday Twins game into Kids Day. Got a wild child? Let him run the bases after the game. More of a gamer? Check out the new virtual reality home run derby. Or maybe your kid just wants to meet a player. So how about a free autograph pregame? And they get a free t-shirt at Kids Opening Day on April 8th if they're one of the first 5,000 kids 12 and under, courtesy of Sheboygan Sausage Company, the Minnesota Twins. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com. Sunday Kids Day is presented by Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare.
Nothing quite like owning a high-end tool. Well, actually, maybe there is. How about saving up to 15% on that tool? It's the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Save on more than 60 of the world's best brands. Register to win a tool valued at $600. And talk shop with reps who are sure to have the best tips. Don't miss the Acme Tool Sale this Friday and Saturday. Do your best work.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an STP filter for only $39.99. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
See what happens when you skip rehearsal.
Congratulations going out to a longtime regular listener, Brenton in Marion. He's going to see the Counting Crows at the U.S. Cellular Center on Tuesday, September 18th. I always like it when people who have listened to the program and the station for a really long time win stuff from us. It's pretty cool, and that's going to be a great show. Tickets are available with us all week long. You can also check them out online, Ticketmaster.com or at the U.S. Cellular Center box office. Speaking of tickets, they're on sale for opening night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Saturday night, Colonels taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits. Hopefully, it will be a little bit nicer than it is outside right now. I do see some precipitation falling here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Precipitation of the rain variety. At least it's not the white stuff that was coming down for a brief period earlier during the gym class. Kyle is with us in the studio. He's got another big board update for you.
The Iowa basketball team got what would seem to be the first real surprise of the offseason today as the program announced that guard Isaiah Moss has decided to test the NBA waters. He's not hiring an agent, though, which means he'll receive feedback and have the option to return to school. Hawkeye football assistants Tim Polasek and Derek Foster spoke with the media today in Iowa City. Polasek says Tristan Wirfs is playing more right tackle right now and Alaric Jackson is on the left, primarily because Jackson's more comfortable at the left, and he has also said that Levi Paulson is out for the rest of spring practice. Foster said that Torin Young is the best pass-catching back, and he said that he's coaching his backs to hand the ball to an official after their carries. Iowa baseball has had its issues with weather already in this young season, and it's dealing with more this week. The Hawkeyes are set to host Grandview tomorrow, but due to the cold, they're going to play at 3:05 instead of 6:05, and for that same reason, they've also moved this weekend series with Ohio State to Saturday, Sunday, and Monday instead of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. First pitches are going to be at 2, 1, and 3, respectively. The Colonels have made their first roster move of the season before they've even played a game. Right-hander Logan Lombana has been promoted to Fort Myers of the Florida State League, and he'll be replaced by another righty, Moises Gomez, from extended spring training. Gomez went 4-1 with Elizabethton last season. Tonight after the show, we've got the Golden State Warriors on the road taking on the Thunder in OKC. With just 4 games remaining in the season, every game matters. They're set up to tip at 7, and you can hear it on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
All right, we will step aside and take a quick break. We come back to the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We're going to take you inside the Iowa football complex earlier today. You can hear Tim Polasek and Derek Foster for yourself. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Back with more after this.
Stu Gatz here for the Black Tux. For more than a year now, theblacktux.com has been my go-to option for looking great at special events and weddings. Whether you're searching for a stylist-selected outfit or building a custom look, the Black Tux has tons of new suits and tuxedos that'll make you stand out for the right reasons. To score $20 off your purchase, it's simple. Visit theblacktux.com/Dan. That's theblacktux.com/Dan for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you were unanimously voted MVP. Not of the league, of the earth.
With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon.
But you'll feel like you've just been handed a championship trophy made from every other championship trophy.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Decking,
railing, lighting, furniture, fencing, framing. At Trex, we make the most in outdoor living because you deserve to get more from your life outdoors. So why not start bringing your ideas to life now with the brand that's engineering what's next? To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, or to find a local retailer or a certified Trex Pro deck builder near you, visit Trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
Your washing machine died. A puddle forms on the floor, sending you running to the home improvement store, where you see the stainless steel machine of your dreams. For a minute, you're glad your old washer died, until you see the price of the new one. And now you die a little. Don't let those big box retailers leak on your dreams. Swing by Rent-A-Center or go to rentacenter.com and get the big brands you want for small payments you can afford, all without credit. Rent-A-Center. Big brands. Small payments. Rental purchase transactions. See store for details.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the Fish Tank than Leo's Pet Store.
I don't know whether that's true or not. There's not even a Leo's Pet Store in Eastern Iowa. The Todd Bromelcamp Show coming your way on all three of our frequencies for the next 25 minutes at least. And then it's off to the NBA, where they are heading into the home stretch. And Stephen A. Smith can tell you all about it every day here on KGYM from 12 to 2. They were talking about Jay Wright at Villanova earlier today, and every ESPN show had the same talking point. Jay Wright should leave Villanova, or should he leave Villanova for Philadelphia and the 76ers, even though that job isn't available. He's the 25th paid, highest paid coach in college basketball. He's won two of the last three national championships. Even though you're the 25th highest paid coach, you're still making pretty good money. And there are a lot of people out there that feel he is a Villanova lifer. He's only, what, mid-50s? Early to mid-50s? I mean, you look at him, he's a young guy, relatively speaking. There's no way I leave Villanova if I'm him. Just stay there, continue to be dominant, and sooner or later, you're going to be the 20th highest paid coach, or the 15th highest paid coach.
I think he needs a raise, though.
I think he's probably going to sit down with the administration there and figure out a way to scrape up a few more pennies. There's no doubt. I mean, at $2.5 million a year or whatever it is he's making, that's a bargain right now. Not to get into coaching salaries or to remind everybody that Fran McCaffrey is going to be on the program with us on Friday, but Villanova is certainly getting a good return on its and its investment in Jay Wright. And not everybody wants to go coach in the NBA, but according to the ESPN talking heads, oh, he's got to consider it. No, he doesn't. Stay at Villanova. You got a good thing going, and he knows that.
He's not the coach in college basketball that I wonder whether he'll jump to the NBA this year. It's a coach in the Big Ten that I'm wondering if he might
jump to the NBA. I know you're not talking about John Beilein.
Correct.
Who are we thinking about here?
Maybe somebody that coaches in the same state that John Beilein does.
He's
been rumored for the Cavaliers job more than once.
You're thinking that this is the year that Tom Izzo leaves with all of the clouds hanging over.
If there was ever a year, it would be this one.
He's calling his shot, folks, like Babe Ruth pointing to the stands at Wrigley Field as Charlie Root sets and delivers the pitch. Let's go ahead and deliver you some audio from Iowa City earlier today. It's not exactly earth-shattering. We didn't expect it to be. By the way, we're doubling up on the assistance because we get a couple of them on Friday as well, as we're running out of time before spring football and the spring game Friday, April 20th. Tim Polasek is in his second year, entering his second year as Iowa's offensive line coach. Here is what he had to say, some of the highlights, including a clip about a change of clothes for at least one, if not multiple, offensive linemen. They're putting their big boy pants on. Here's Tim Polasek earlier today.
Is Keegan moving to center, is that a no-brainer?
Yeah, because he had worked, you know, we started forecasting last year during fall camp, getting him some repetitions, and getting him going. And it's never the most natural thing for a kid unless he's done it for a long time period of time. But I thought last fall camp he showed some real promise. And then obviously being thrusted in there in the Wyoming game. You know, he played well. I wouldn't say he played great, but he went in there and handled it. And so far, so good. I mean, I'm talking about the basics, like, that we all take for granted, right? Like the snap, getting back there on time, you know, being able to snap, you know, step and snap. So he's off and running. The part that Keegan's done a really good job of is just the communication, you know, being accountable for every, you know, defensive front identification, you know, starting the chain of command as far as our calls and communications. You know, he owns that. He's our best vocal leader, and I'm not so sure that towards the end of last year that that wasn't the same. You know, Keegan's doing a wonderful job with leading the group. It really feels like he can lead best from that center position, but we're most certainly trying to push some guys up there and see what can happen.
What about the tackles right now? I mean, you know, how comfortable are you with Alaric and Tristan? Are they, have they settled in at one or the other side as far as if you play the game tomorrow? And then, you know, a younger guy, Mark Kallenberger, who redshirted, and there seems to be a lot of promise with
that. Yeah, with the tackle position right now, you know, rep one, AJ runs out there at left tackle. Tristan's been running out there at right tackle. You know, Mark's the only true other tackle we have in the program, and Levi was getting reps at right tackle and right guard. So with Levi, you know, being out the remainder of spring ball, those two are swinging, you know, from right to left. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we went through a tough time there in the bowl prep because that was a quick transition and we had some time for Tristan to go over there. But AJ is the one that really struggled on the right side to some degree. And quite frankly, you know, it's interesting, like one guy's right hand is better on the right side. The other guy's left hand is better on, you know, so you get these different things going on, but really their feet in pass protection, both have been pretty good. We're really, really happy with that. But, you know, it's a constant grind, you know, to perfect it. They're both really comfortable from a schematics, you know, standpoint with the basics, you know, but things change out there. Defense, my favorite thing about spring ball is the young defensive guys miss a line too once in a while, you know, and we got to be able to make it right and play through it. Both guys are doing a great job at both spots. I would think that Tristan's getting, you know, a little bit higher percentage at right tackle, and AJ's still getting a little bit higher percentage at left tackle. But to be honest with you, that's one of the emphasis this week, is to make sure that we're, you know, not one side or the other. And there's really no reason besides putting the best five out there that one would play the other side.
How is developing? I mean, it's early, I know, but do you see guys that could become those 6, 7, 8 guys yet, or does that need to emerge?
Yeah, no, I think everybody's improving. You know, this business that we're in is just a race to maturity. Like, no matter what, we could come in here and tell you guys it's all going great. You know what I mean? It's not. It's never good enough. The improvement's not happening fast enough. But the guys are going out there and they're working really hard. And I think their gains are substantial. You know what I mean? Like, we've got a guy out there, I'm not going to make, he had a hard time getting in a stance and playing with pad level. Like, that's gotten cleaner. You know, we got a guy that basically won't punch his hands in pass protection. The other day he landed his hands and moved over there and stayed in front of the guy. I mean, it is really complex stuff. But we are seeing some guys that are taking, you know, the pajamas off and stepping into their big boy pants. You know, the first guy I will mention is, you know, Cole Banwart has done a heck of a job. I mean, I just, you know, I'm super excited about his future because he has continuously gotten better. The only thing that stopped his constant growth has been injuries, you know, and so he has to be able to stay on the football field. But his grit and his toughness, you know, he's a Hawkeye. You know, his teammates matter to him. He's trying to do the things that we're teaching the way we want them done. And so he's shown some really, really good growth. And I think Landon Paulson's had his best stretch of football. And I haven't been here with you guys, you know, very long. But from what I saw from last spring all the way through fall camp in the season, and then I saw him in December, and what I'm seeing now, he's played his best football here of late. And so that's exciting as well.
Last year, I don't know, how many fronts do you think you saw last year in a given week?
Yeah.
And what was that like? I mean, it seemed like that was the book on Iowa, attack, the line of scrimmage, just attack, attack.
Yeah, you know, not really because of the backgrounds in trying to run the ball, the places I've been, you know, that was pretty consistent, to be honest with you. But I think North Texas, like in the first 15 plays, played 10 to 12 different fronts. I remember one time, and James is brilliant, right? Like, super smart. He's like, Coach, I think it was diamond, but it might have been over. You know, and you look back on the film and you're getting some various fronts. I think that's pretty common for people that do want to stop the run. You know, unfortunately, you know, everybody wants you to step out there and just, like, run the football right down people's throats from jump street. That normally happens, you know, somewhere in the third quarter or end of the second quarter. It takes some time, you know, and that's what we have to do a better job of this year, is identifying what the defense is trying to do. You know, let's make some communications, let's play fast and get on our aim points and do some good things.
You've been with Tristan Wirfs from the get-go here. Can you kind of point to an example of growth you've seen from day one to where he is?
Yeah, he can count now, you know. I think wrestling and track helped him with that. You know, I've even spoken to him about that. Like, man, what'd you like about wrestling and track? Well, coach, it holds you pretty accountable. You're out there by yourself. You know, so that's been really neat. But I guess, you know, just watching him kind of take some steps forward from a leadership standpoint, you know, like jump in front of the line while we're warming up. I know that's not a big deal, but he's always kind of, and he should. He was a true freshman last year. But just seeing him take some steps forward leadership-wise, I think there it's, you know, especially in his class, you know, of classmates, we need him to be a great leader. And just seeing him grow and take some steps forward that way. And to be honest with you, and this isn't the answer maybe you're looking for, but just watching or helping him to learn how to study film, helping him learn how to get ready for spring ball and study our stuff. Like, what should he be doing? How does the process work? And so there's questions, man. You know, 2 weeks ago I asked these guys, give me three things that you don't know that you want to be coached on. And you just won't believe the questions. But that's why we're here. And he's just such a stronger personality off the field, like in the meetings now. And he's not, you know, as reserved to ask a question or to get the group going a little bit, because he is a powerful personality, and someday he's going to push through for us and be a good leader.
Tim Polasek earlier today in Iowa City, the Hawkeyes, at least on the offensive line, taking the pajamas off. Somebody's going to turn that into a T-shirt before September rolls around. Taking the pajamas off, Iowa football 2018. You get a little bit of an insight there into a no-brainer, as Mark Morehouse put it, moving Keegan Render to center, replacing James Daniels, who's off to big riches in the NFL draft. And then a little bit of insight into how they're approaching the tackles with Alaric Jackson, who really struggled during a bowl prep, at least on the right side of the line. And, yeah, the maturity. Guys like Landon Paulson and Cole Banwert, and a little bit of insight into Tristan Wirfs' development and leadership. Tristan Wirfs, the Mount Vernon native who got on the field last year as a true freshman. And I think a lot of Hawkeye fans are probably pretty excited about his development. They see him as the next big thing with the offensive line. Went a little heavy there with Tim Polasek audio because I figured you would appreciate it, being the offensive line guru that you are.
I enjoy it.
Am I out of line in thinking that this could be a strength for the Hawkeyes next year? They have some question marks, but I think there's reasons to be optimistic.
Absolutely, and there usually are. That's usually a strength of this team. But I think that most of the time that we just heard him speak, he is still trying to develop those very talented but still pretty raw tackles, whether it's Alaric Jackson or Tristan Wirfs, because they have all of the tools that you look for in your big-time tackles. They have the length, they have the strength, they have the physicality, and it's just all about honing in that technique. And once those two are able to do that, I think that both of them could have NFL futures ahead of them.
So here's what we're going to do, since it's already 6:49 and we're a little crunched for time here. We will hold on to the Derek Foster audio for tomorrow so that we can at least give you a little bit more than a drive-by as far as giving that attention. So a little bit more Hawkeye football audio coming up for you on the program tomorrow. Derek Foster, if the name doesn't sound familiar to you, he is the newest member of Kirk Ferentz's coaching staff, joining the program a couple months ago. He's going to be in charge of the Iowa running backs this year. It's a small stable of four running backs in Iowa City right now, but tomorrow on the program, you'll hear him talk a little bit about Torin Young and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, which I think some Hawkeye fans are hoping becomes a little bit bigger piece of the Iowa game plan, as that precipitation looks like it's turning back over into snow right now on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It's media night also at Veterans Memorial Stadium as Meet the Colonels, the Meet the Colonels event winds down, and then the media get to talk to the Colonels. I know Scott Unash and a couple other people from the station are there representing us tonight. We can't get over there, but I hope this is all out of the way and gone by the time that opening day, the home opener, rolls around for the Colonels, which is Saturday at Veterans Memorial Stadium.
And I wish I could make it out to Meet the Colonels night as well, but I think I need to, after these 4 minutes or so are up of this show, I'm going to go home and reset and come back and wipe this day away.
A couple years ago, they kept the bar open for us late, and we made it over there and got in for a couple beers, but that's not to be the case tonight. I want you to go home tonight and read up on what Tommy Pham had to say about the Cardinals organization, because I have a feeling we'll be talking a little bit about that tomorrow the program. He had some interesting comments with Sports Illustrated. Not now, not for today, not for consumption on today's show, but that's, I hate to give out homework, but Tommy Pham, interesting cat with some interesting things to say about the St. Louis Cardinals. 6:52, we're going to take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle is going to have a final big board for you. NBA basketball on the way tonight, all three frequencies. We'll give you an update on whether or not they're going to play that Cubs game in Cincinnati with the Reds. Maybe take a look at the rest of the MLB scoreboard and then get you out of your way, get you on your way, I should say, for a Tuesday night. Back with more after this.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an STP filter for only $39.99. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Napa Know-How.
Time to start adding to your bucket list. No, not the skydiving meet your idol bucket list, the Napa bucket list. Because now when you buy a Napa bucket for $2.99, you'll get 20% off items you can fit inside. Minimum $50 purchase. So live a little and save a lot with the Napa bucket and 20% off. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Exclusions apply. Offer expires 4/30/18.
If you're drafting a quarterback, what are you really looking for? Size, speed, arm strength?
Most experts would agree, it's accuracy. The same is true when you're hiring. You're not looking for attempts, you're looking for completions. You're looking for the right candidate for the job, and you can find them at ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful technology learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job.
And our listeners can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/draft. That's ZipRecruiter.com/draft.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back to the Todd Bromelkamp Show, right here on KGYN.
He really seems to care about what I have no idea.
Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound for the Dodgers tonight. They're in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks. There is question as to whether or not John Lester will be on the mound for the Cubs in Cincinnati. That game has been in a delay for quite some time. Our pal Jesse Rogers from ESPN 1000 in Chicago tweeting 10 minutes ago that a steady rain is coming down at the Great American Ballpark. Cardinals are in action. They're taking on Ed Creech's Milwaukee Brewers, and St. Louis up 2-0 in the top of the first inning at this point. A couple other games going on around Major League Baseball. Scott Unash's Chicago White Sox with an early 1-0 lead against the Blue Jays, and we'll keep an eye on what's going on around the rest of the league. Maybe give you an update in the final seconds before we get off the air tonight. Royals, a 1-0 winner over the Tigers. So Cal Eldred's Royals breaking into the win column and doing so with a 1-0 shutout today as Jake Junis picks up the first victory of the season for KC. Right now, we're going to give you a victory. We're going to give you a big board update. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa basketball team got what would seem to be the first real surprise of the offseason today as the programs announced that guard Isaiah Moss has decided to test the NBA waters. He's not hiring an agent, though, which means he'll receive feedback and have the option to return to school. Hawkeye football assistants Tim Pulisic and Derek Foster spoke with the media today in Iowa City. Pulisic says Tristan Wirfs is playing more right tackle right now and Alaric Jackson's on the left, primarily because Jackson's more comfortable on the left, and he also said that Levi Paulson's going to be out for the rest of spring practice. Foster said that Torin Young is the best pass-catching back and that he's coaching his backs to hand the ball to an official after their carries. Iowa baseball has had its issues with weather already in this young season, and it's dealing with more this week. The Hawkeyes are set to host Grandview tomorrow, but due to the cold, they're going to play at 3:05 instead of 6:05, and for that same reason, they've also moved this weekend series with Ohio State to Saturday, Sunday, and Monday instead of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. First pitches are going to be at 2, 1, 3, and 3, respectively. The Colonels have made their first roster move of the season before they've even played a game. Right-hander Logan Lombana has been promoted to Fort Myers. He'll be replaced by another righty, Moises Gomez, from extended spring training. Gomez went 4-1 with Elizabethton last season. Tonight after the show, we've got the Golden State Warriors on the road taking on the Thunder in OKC. The Thunder are fifth in the Western Conference standings, but with just four games separating seven different teams, every game matters. That game's set to tip at 7, and you can hear it on all three KGYM frequencies.
Giancarlo Stanton is now 0-5 with 5 strikeouts and getting booed at Yankee Stadium. You have to love the fickle nature of Yankee fandom. Not getting booed at Yankee Stadium today, Didi Gregorius. He's got 6 runs driven in as the Yankees had no issue with Chris Archer and the Rays today. That'll do it for a Tuesday edition of the program. A little Iowa football audio coming up for you tomorrow, as well as the 6 o'clock showdown. Another chance for you to take home tickets to see the Counting Crows celebrating 25 years on the road. The two are coming to Cedar Rapids on September 18th. We'll give you your chance to win tickets with us tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you Wednesday.